Please open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3 in your Scofield Bible, page 944. We'll be reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 10. I'll read the verses responsively. Jonah chapter 3, page 944 in your Scofield Bible. Then let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And let's pray. Father, how fortunate we are to be here tonight. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the mention while ago of the longevity of a number of our folks. Thank you for those who stayed with us, stuff who are faithful year in and year out. Thank you for those who visit with us tonight and help them to capture some of the spirit of this great church and its great people. But help them especially to the preaching of the word. That's why we're all here. Primarily is to hear from the through our preacher. Bless him, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I told Mrs. High I was on the way tonight. I said, I love to preach the kind of sermon I preached this morning. I love to preach some great doctrines, and I love to bring a message like this morning. I enjoy preaching messages on encouragement and comfort and so forth. I do not enjoy quite as much preaching the kind of sermon I'm going to preach tonight. It is the kind that ought to be on the menu of every Baptist preacher and every Baptist church. It's a part of the formula that every Christian needs to hear, and certainly a part of the diet that every church ought to have. It is not my favorite kind of preaching, but it is very necessary. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, You Don't Have a Day to Waste. You don't have a day to waste. I read with you a while ago in my own mind, and some of it I read with you, this amazing story about the wonderful revival that they had in Nineveh, the greatest revival I've ever read about or heard about, and no doubt the outstanding revival in the history of our religion, if you would call it a religion at all. And so listen carefully as I try to help you. Our Heavenly Father, bless me tonight as I speak, not because I want to be blessed, because I want to be a blessing. And I cannot be a blessing unless I receive a blessing. And I'll promise you tonight, if you'll give it to me, I'll let it go right through. I'll pass it on. And so help me to be able to bless the people by you being blessed. Are you blessing me? Or better still, bless the people through me, please. That's all I ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know the story of Jonah, how the word of the Lord came to him and said, Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Nineveh was an idolatrous city. It was not a city that was steeped in religious or Christian or Bible history. It was simply a heathen, idolatrous, fish-worshipping city. In fact, as you know, it was the big capital city of the heathen empire that later on was to destroy the people of God. But God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah did not go to Nineveh. You recall how that he went down to Joppa, and they caught a ship on its way to Tarshish, and how that there was a turmoil on the ship and a storm brewing, and they cast lots and found that it was Jonah's fault, and Jonah was cast off the boat, and Jonah was swallowed by a fish, a whale if you please, and he lived, as other men have, in the belly of that fish, but it so happened he lived there for 3 days and three nights, and then the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, it's a lot easier to hear the word of the Lord from a fish's belly than it is from your nice, comfortable, luxury home. And so Jonah responded to the word of the Lord, and there he went to Nineveh and preached the greatest revival that has ever been conducted or preached by any living man. There's no doubt about that. Now, my sermon tonight is entitled, Don't Waste Today. Don't Waste Today. We talk about the 20 wasted years of Jacob, when Jacob, because of his deception of his brother Esau, and was recommended to Jacob by his mother that that he flee the land and go back to the old homeland, and there Jacob wasted 20 years. And we talk about the 20 wasted years of Jacob, and well, we ought to do so. We lament over the 10 wasted years of Naomi in Moab, when God, Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, had two children, Mahlon and Chilion, and the famine came in the land, and Naomi and Elimelech went down, they left the will of God and went down to Moab. And I want to say it again, I'll say it, whether you like it or not, or whether you do it or not, it is just as unscriptural as drinking liquor for a person to go transfer himself somewhere else because his company transfers him. If he doesn't transfer you, you ought not to be transferred. Oh, you say, Brother Howes, I can find work down. Fool you on the work. You got to feed your family. No, God will feed your family if you'll stay in the will of God. And Elimelech, Naomi, went down to Moab. And the Bible says they went there to sojourn, which means to pass through. Get a job, make some money, and then come back as soon as they could. But as is almost always the case, when you sojourn in sin, you stay in sin. Nobody plans to be an alcoholic. They take the first drink, then the second, and one day become an alcoholic. Nobody plans to become an addict. They just take the first little cigarette, and then the second cigarette, and then a little marijuana. After a while, they become an addict. Nobody plans to wreck their life and end up in a rescue mission somewhere or on the street somewhere, a derelict. Nobody plans that. They just go to sojourn. But as the case of Naomi and Elimelech, they stayed for 10 years. We talk about the wasted years of Jacob back in his homeland, the 20 wasted years. We talk about the 10 wasted years of Naomi in Elimelech, and after 10 years she came back. And by the way, when she got back, they didn't even recognize her. The greatest beauty aid in this world is the Christian life, young ladies. I don't care if Mary Kay can call and call and call and call, and Avon can come the next day. It'll not do anything compare with a godly, innocent, sweet Christian look on your face, and you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But we think about those wasted years. We talk about the wasted years of Abraham when he left the will of God. The same reason that Naomi and Elimelech left. There's a famine in the land. He left the will of God, went down to Egypt, and there he stayed for some wasted years in Egypt. Or we talk about Israel's wasted years, when for 40 years they wasted away, as it were, in the wilderness because they did not go inside the promised land when God, in fact, told them to do so. We talk about Gomer's wasted years. Look at Hosea, because of her awful sin and becoming almost a prostitute and probably a prostitute, and her wasted years. Yet we are admonished in Psalm 92 to number our days, not our years. In Ephesians 5 and 16, redeeming the time for the days are evil. And so tonight, I call your attention not someone who wasted 40 years like the Israelites did. I call your attention not someone who wasted 20 years like Jacob did. I call your attention someone who wasted not 10 years like Naomi did. I call your attention to someone that wasted not just a few years like Abraham did. But I call your attention tonight the example of the importance of days. Look at that evangelist. Hear that preaching. Look at that invitation. What a revival. From the greatest, and by the way, the city of Nineveh was a city of probably a 2/3 million people, maybe over 600,000 to 700,000 people. What a revival. Look at that revival. From the greatest, the Bible says, from the greatest of them to the least of them, they got saved. Every one of them. That's like the entire Calumet region getting saved in one great revival. Now think about that. They all, the Bible says, they all believed. It says the king got saved and laid aside his robe and sat in sackcloth and ashes. Boy, I'd like to see Mr. Clinton sit in some sackcloth and ashes. The king got saved, born again, and repented and sat in sackcloth and ashes. That isn't all. He made a proclamation that everybody cry unto God. But that isn't all. I love this. He made a proclamation that all the people sit in sackcloth and ashes, and then even the animals had to put a sackcloth on, it says in the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Even the animals got right with God. That beats what some of these people are doing today in America. But the animals, don't leave here and say the animals got saved. I don't think they did. I think they all went to hell when they died. But the animals were put on, the sackcloth was even put on the animals. Every person, get this now, every person turned from his evil way. Now think about that. Let's just sort of let our imagination run wild for a few moments and think about that. Really, what happened? The Hugh Hefners of that day turned to God and repented and closed down the Playboy Club. The Madeline Murray O'Hares got saved and started soul winning rather than denying the existence of God. The adult bookstores all closed down. The tavern keepers locked the tavern doors. The Bible says they all turned from their sin and their evil ways, and they all repented. That means the NIV Bibles were all burned. That means the Hollywood whores repented. That means the liberal preachers became fundamental. That means every seminary became a Hal Sanderson College. That means the school board got saved and changed the dress code to decency and modesty in the schools. That meant the Supreme Court got the Bible back in the public schools. That meant abortion was considered murder, which it really is. That means, I've understood why. You can't kill little baby chicks, but you can kill little babies. Somebody's crazy. The Rolling Stones were saved and began to sing the Rock of Ages. The city council got saved and closed the casinos and gambling in Hammond. And let me once again ask you, why is it wrong? Why they put people in jail for gambling? Why did Pete Rose go to jail for gambling when he's right across the street over here in the basement of the Catholic Church? And when the government promotes it in the casinos and the lotto and the lotteries. That means not a woman could be found wearing shorts or pants or modest clothing. Some of you visitors are saying, I knew you'd say it. You say it every time I come. But I just didn't want to disappoint you, that's all. So I did it for your sake. You're just talking to an old man who's too old to change, that's all. That means the R.J. Reynolds Company went out of business. That means crime stopped and the jails were empty. That means all the congressmen got saved, put prayer back in the schools. That means that no liberal could be found in the land, and no atheist could be found in the land, and no contemporary worship service could be found in the land. That meant that no profanity could be heard on the radio. No cocktails or martinis or alcohol of any sort could be bought. The divorce courts were all dark. There were no dirty television talk shows. The women dressed like women and the men got rid of their earrings. All of this you'll find. Now, that's what would have happened here in this city if the same thing happened in this city that happened in Nineveh many, many centuries ago. It meant that the National Council of Churches and the Ministerial Association and the United Nations would all be dissolved and disbanded. It meant the old-time religion became the state religion. Everybody went to church and everybody believed the Bible. The homosexuals repented of their dirty sins and changed their lifestyle. People got right with each other. There was no hatred or malice. R-rated movies were banned. Dirty magazines were banned. Video stores had no sales. I said video stores like Blockbuster had no sales and they all were closed. Every single person got on his knees and repented of his sins. Over 600,000 people were saved and turned from sin to God at one time of the preaching of one man, the greatest revival of all time, and all about the size of the Northwest Indiana Calumet region. Wonderful. Wonderful. Amazing. Tremendous. But there is one sad note. Don't miss it. This revival started 5 days late, at least. If Jonah spent one day on the boat and 3 days in the belly of the fish, and it says he spent one day getting back to Nineveh to preach, that means the revival started 5 days late. And before you give Jonah an honorary doctorate because of the great revival he preached, and before you put him on the front page of the local newspapers and write him up in the sword of the Lord and the revival fires, and before you idolize Jonah, one of the great preachers in history, let me remind you that Jonah came 5 days after he was supposed to have come. Now, what does that mean? That means everybody who died during those 5 days went to hell. And they're still there. Tonight, everybody, if the whole town got saved, then these people that died during those 5 days would likewise have gotten saved. And if the whole town got saved, then these people, and I checked the Hammond Times today to see how many people were in the obituary column today in the Hammond Times. There were 22 people in the Hammond Times today. Now, if that's the average amount of people who pass away each day in the Calumet region, then that means about 110 people would pass away in 5 days. Now, listen carefully now. That means because one preacher refused to obey the will of God. Hey, you fellows that are waiting right now to get the job done for God, quit waiting and get out there and get something done for God. I haven't got time to wait. The world's going to hell. That means 110 people. Tonight, if the Bible is true, if the Bible is true and it says, then shall he say, those on the left hand, depart from me into everlasting, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. If that word is true, if people die and go to hell and burn forever, and if this Bible is true, unsaved people do die and go to hell and burn forever. Well, you say, I can't see that. Well, it's right in the Bible. Just look at it and you'll be able to see it. Well, I can't figure it out. Well, that's who happens to be a God that's smarter than you are. And he wrote this book and he said it. And if there's a heaven where folks spend eternity on golden streets and walking through gates of pearl, there's a hell where people die and burn forever and ever and ever and ever. And tonight, while you and I sit here in the luxury and comfort of this room, this air-conditioned auditorium with padded pews, while we sit here tonight, those 110 of give or take a few are burning in hell. And they're begging for one drop of water to come and to quench the fire and some relief. And they're begging for mercy. And they're falling in the bottomless pit of hell. Why? Because one preacher waited 5 days before he obeyed the will of God. I was at Bill Rice Ranch several years ago, many years ago now. He used to have there, I don't know if they still do or not, they used to have what they call a cookout breakfast. Every morning, several mornings during the week, they would get on horseback or in little jeeps and go out in a mountain somewhere, side of a mountain, And there they would cook breakfast outside by a covered wagon, and we'd drink coffee out of tin cups, and we'd have a cookout breakfast way out there on the mountainside. Well, I decided when I went out one morning, I was going to go horseback riding, and so I never have enjoyed horseback riding. The horse always goes up when I go down, and he goes down when I go up. But I decided to go horseback riding, and there was a young preacher, a boy that was riding the horse beside me. We were riding up the mountain, and the young preacher boy said, "Dr. Hiles, can I ask you a question, please? I've chosen to ride with you because I'm a preacher. God has called me to preach." And he said, "Brother Hiles, I've counseled with other preachers. I've counseled with the so-called deeper life preachers, and they gave me their advice, and I want to talk to a hellfire and damnation preacher, and I gladly confess to being a hellfire and damnation preacher." He said, "I want to know your opinion." He said, "Which should I be? You think I ought to be a hellfire and damnation preacher, or like you, or should I be more of a deeper life preacher?" But let me say what I said in my class this morning. Brother, you don't get any deeper life than getting folks out of hell and getting folks to heaven. And just in case we have some here tonight that think you're a little deep because you don't give invitations or altar calls and get people saved and pass out tracts on the street and conduct street services downtown Chicago, if you're looking down at us, brother, you're looking the wrong way. He said, "Dr. Hiles, what is your opinion? What kind of preacher I ought to be?" And I said, "Question I want to ask you, son, is there a hell?" He said, "Yes, there is a hell." He said, "But now, would you give me advice? Should I be a deeper life kind of preacher, or should I be a hellfire and damnation preacher?" And I said, "Is there a hell?" "Dr. Hiles, I told you, yes, I believe there's a hell, but now would you advise me what to do?" I said, "Is there a hell?" He said, "Yes, there's a hell. But Dr. Hiles, the other preacher, he counseled me. He spent some time talking to me. All you're doing is just saying, is there a hell? What should I do?" I said, "Is there a hell?" And I kept on saying, "Is there a hell? Is there a hell?" Ladies and gentlemen, if there's no hell, let's close up shop, eat, drink, be merry, play golf tomorrow, go fishing Tuesday, go hunting on Wednesday. What do you think about that, lady? That's very, very, okay. But I'm trying to say, Let's all eat, drink, and be merry. But bless God, if there is a hell where people die and go and burn forever and ever and ever, somebody's got to get concerned about the souls of men. I kept on asking, "Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell?" He said, "Brother House, advise me." I said, "Is there a hell? Is there a hell?" He scratched his head, the horse scratched his head, and they drove off together. Russell Anderson saw me a few months later. He said, "Dr. Hiles," he said, "I heard a young preacher preach." He said, "He knows you." I said, "What's his name?" He told me. I said, "I don't know a young preacher that name." He said, "Well, you probably don't know his name, but he rode with you on horseback up to a cookout breakfast one morning at the Bill Rice Ranch." "I just heard him preach," Dr. Anderson said. He said, "Just heard him preach a sermon." And I said, "Good, what was the title?" He said, "He preached the title of the sermon on Is There a Hell?" Now, you young preachers going to go out of here and be deeper life preachers. Don't you get your diploma from Miles Anderson College. You're not going to get, you're not concerned about the souls of men trying to pluck folks from the burning fires of hell to the golden streets of heaven. Then turn in your certificate of ordination. We don't have a nine training a bunch of pussyfooters. Then the question is, how many will be in hell because of careless college students who have to wait many months to start their ministry to pay off needless debts? Sit still. You college students that make needless debts. You say, "What's a needless debt?" "One that you don't know you can pay." I wonder how many people will be in hell because of the needless extravagance of young Hiles Anderson preacher boys who had to wait a year, 2 or 3 years to go out in the ministry. I wonder how many folks are going to die in those years. Here are 120 people, 110 people, probably, who died in Nineveh and went to hell, I wonder having to go to hell in a whole year.
Or how about the young men who spend years in service to get GI benefits to pay their college bill so they can go into ministry? Sit still. I wouldn't recommend a preacher to preach anywhere who decided to go to the service or get GI benefits so he could loaf through college, wouldn't have to work through college, and so someday go into ministry. Hey, this is not a profession like being a lawyer or a doctor or an accountant, ladies and gentlemen. This is God's business. This is business of plucking souls from the firebrands of hell. I'm saying, wait for 5 wasted days. Or how about the men spending 20 years in the service so they can go as missionaries or be preachers someday? Now, I'm not talking about you fellows that got in the service and spent years in the service and then God called you to preach. I'm talking about some of you guys that are going into the service. And by the way, let me just simply say, I'm not for a Christian going into the service unless our country is in war. Now, I'm not going to be critical or unkind about anybody in the world. I just think the world's going to hell and we ought to get out trying to get people saved. Or how about high school graduates who are going to serve God full time who wait a year to start college? Or how about those that drop out a year in college, drop out for a year, and come back the next year? Now, if 110 people, give or take a few, have been burning in hell for several thousand years, I wonder how many are burning in hell because preacher boys and young people just sort of take their time to get to, listen, you get to a Christian college, you get your gun loaded, you prepare yourself, you walk across this platform, you get your degree, you go back out yonder in the hallway, take off that cap, take off that gown, get your Bible, and get out yonder and let her rip. Or how about the lay people who plan to teach a Sunday school class someday? Or plan to work a bus route someday, are planning to get active. Many people are burning in hell tonight because of the delay on the part of God's people. Believe me, brother, death is not postponed until you get there. We somehow seem to think that everything will wait till we get there. It will, but death won't. Notice what Jonah did what exactly what you all do tonight. I'm not talking about you Howells Anderson students quitting school. Get your gun loaded. Don't shoot it till it's got ammunition in it. But when it's got the ammunition, don't let it rust before you shoot it. I walked up to a security guard the other day, I was walking in, and I said, you got a gun on you? How many folks have you shot today? He said, none. I said, what's a dumb gun for? Years ago, we had a security guard. He may still be here. He may be here tonight. I won't tell you who he is unless he gets mad at me. If he leaves the church, I'll announce who he is publicly. But we had a security guard, and he was over there at the desk in the hallway, and he was reading a book. He had taken his gun off and laid it there on the desk. And I saw him there reading the book, his gun right there. I tiptoed up behind him, and I got his gun. I took it to my office. When I found him again, I shot him with it. But, boy, I heard a knock on my door. Preacher, somebody's got my gun. I said, I bet they have. Oh, he said, somebody stole my gun. I said, does it look like this? Now, I'm saying get your gun loaded, but we're not training security guards, we're training soldiers. Now, notice what Jonah did. The Bible said, now, Nineveh was a city of 3 days' journey. It said after 1 day, Jonah got there. He thought that fish has fallen him. After one day, it's a 3-day journey. And after 1 day, Jonah arrived in Nineveh. And that's what you ought to do. Hey, he made up for 2 of those 5 days. But I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's time God's people got in a hurry. I've been in a hurry all my life.
I was talking, we live in a condominium with a lot of elderly people. Every once in a while, somebody will say to me, he said, how long have you been retired? And I'll say, I'm not retired. Well, when do you plan to retire? Well, I'm already retired. I was tired once before. I'm tired again. I'm retired. Shoot. I mean, amen. I've been in a hurry all my life. When I got back from the World War II and got my discharge, I hit the ground running. While I was in college, I went every Friday afternoon and night to the Tuberculosis Sanatorium in Tyler, Texas. They had, as I recall, 32 wards there, and I'd go to every single ward, either preach or witness to everybody in the Tuberculosis Sanatorium. I was just a freshman in my first year in a Christian college. I'd go out in the woods somewhere in the country road, and I'd set me up a little tent that seated about 100 people, or I'd build me a brush arbor. That's a post over here, post here, post here, post here. And then you'd put maybe some kind of a net across the top or chicken wire across the top and then spread brush up there. I'd get me a brush arbor. I'd get out and make me some benches myself for people to sit on and make me a little pulpit I could preach on and get out in the country road, get that little car like the ones out there at the college right now and drive up and down the country roads and stop at every house and say, hey, folks, I've been preaching down there tonight. I've got a fellow going to play the accordion or a trombone or a trumpet. Come down tonight. We're going to have some good time with music. And that night, I'd preach. I'm talking about I was just a kid preacher. I had just gone to college. I had not been in college a year. And by the way, some of you Howells Henderson College preacher boys, you don't preach enough before you get out of college. Do some preaching. Find your place to preach. Get your street corner. Go to the jailhouse and preach. Go to the street corner. Go somewhere, but learn to preach. Not enough of our graduates can preach like they ought to preach, I'll be honest with you. Some of our graduates couldn't preach the way out of a paper sack. If you can't preach the way out of a toe sack, you're not worth preaching. A toe sack is a burlap bag for you uneducated people up north, you Yankees. I said I'd preach. I'd go every week down to the pavilion at City Park in Marshall, Texas, and stand under that pavilion where they have an indoor picnic place. And get me a crowd and preach to them. Every Wednesday night I went out to a black church, a St. Mary's Baptist church, and conducted Bible studies and preached for them on Wednesday night. And sometimes I'd preach from 9 o'clock till midnight, just like I'm going to do tonight. Oh, you say, Brother Hines, I want to be like you. Yeah, you want to be like me now. Why don't you be like me then? At 21, I was pastor of a Baptist church, full-time pastor of a Baptist church. Why? I was in a hurry. Now, I'm near 9 years past retirement age. Have I told you this story? Have I? Okay. I think I have. Have I? I better not. I'm in a 9 year, I'll be 9 years past retirement time. My crowd has all retired. I mean, the guys I grew up in the ministry with, they're all old men. They're not pastoring anymore. You know why? I don't know exactly why. Somebody ought to tell them that there's a hell. I've always been in a hurry. I've said in a hurry. I have a heart condition. I haven't found out about it yet. So how's it doing? I don't know. Last time I had a check, they gave me bad news. I like these liberal doctors that give you good news. But bless God, over a half a century, from a kid preacher, just a young preacher, first year in college, preaching at the sanatorium. Tuberculosis sanatorium. I'd go to the jail and preach. Every week I'd go to the city jail in Marshall, Texas and preach in the jailhouse. I was there one night preaching. Walked in and a fellow said, Reverend, you don't have to preach tonight. There are only 7 of us in jail. We're all your church members. Every once in a while to this day, I'll sneak over to Chicago to some tavern somewhere and stand up on the bar and preach in a tavern. To this day, I'll do that occasionally. Why? Because I want to do what I ask you Howells Anderson College guys to do. It's been a few years ago now. I was in a certain bar over there in South Chicago. I walked in. There was a big old fat bartender. They're all big and fat. I looked at her. I'm sorry. I looked at him. And I said, can I make a speech, please? That's what I always say. Can I make a speech, please? He said, what about? I said, I want to talk about God. Why? He said, good. That's what they always say. Go ahead. I'm a Catholic myself. I stood up on the bar, healed the dead, cast out the sick, and raised the devils, preaching. Right in the middle of my 15-minute talk, an old drunk stood up back in the back.
And he said, hey, fellas. He said, you listen to that man. Everyone of you guys, you listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. That's my preacher.
It's time he got in a hurry. Jonah, what are you doing on that boat, man? Somebody went to hell yesterday. Jonah, what are you doing in the belly of that whale? Somebody's going to hell today. Jonah, get back up and get down to Nineveh. 110 people will burn in hell forever and ever and ever. Jonah, it's time you got up and went back to Nineveh and did the will of God. And it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we quit waiting to do something for God. Get in a hurry about it. I said, get in a hurry. And so, God didn't say number your years, said number your days. Number your days. Wasted days. Somehow, we've gotten the idea that the ministry is an awful lot like any other profession. Just when should I go out in it? Well, how about tomorrow? That's a good day. How about tomorrow? Some of you college students, you preacher boys, you ought not to make all these debts. So when you graduate, you can take off. Well, you sit in the house. I'm pretty young. So was I. I was prettier than I was young, but I was pretty young too. But I've been in a hurry all these years. So if you want to copy Brother Hiles, why don't you go back to the original Brother Hiles? I mean the Brother Hiles as a young preacher. Oh, you'd like to be called to a church like this. How about calling yourself to a jailhouse to preach? Wasted time. Wasted time. We have no time to waste. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And every moment we waste, somebody drops into the fires of hell forever.